You're listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world.
We believe God is already at work in your city. We're here to help you ask, what is God doing where I live, and how can I join in?
If you love your city, love the church, and believe God can do amazing things in your city, you're in the right place.
Let's get started. Podcast listeners, you are about to listen to an episode in season two of the City Gospel Movement's podcast. Season two is called Visionary Women. Our team is super passionate about this topic, but it's also one we keep hearing leaders like you want to talk about and engage in. Women are essential and sometimes overlooked leaders in collaborative church movements, so we are so excited to feature four diverse and innovative women who are shaking up the way the church and cities are talking about evangelism, scripture engagement, discipleship, and young generations. Let's get into our conversation with Ebony Small. She's a dynamic leader based in New York City who's shaking up the way the church engages emerging leaders, women in leadership, and evangelism.
So it's with great honor and delight that I get to introduce Pastor Ebony Small joining us today. Thank you so much for being here on the City Gospel Movement's podcast.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I'm so glad that we finally got this time in our schedules, and I'm just so honored to be a part of this discussion today.
Well, Ebony, I want to start first with something really big happened in your life this last weekend, and you have been a servant not only a space of City Gospel Movements, but to the church. And I want you just to kind of share with everybody, what was significant that happened this weekend?
Well, this weekend was truly a moment in history for my local church in New York City, Bethel Gospel Assembly, which has been serving the community of Harlem and New York City, as well as the globe for the past 102 years. And so we, as a church, and really led by our senior pastor, Bishop Carlton Brown, has installed a pastoral board as part of the leadership structure of the church. And I was one of the newly installed associate pastors of our ministry. And so it was incredible. This is a church that my family and I have been a part of since I was 7 years old. It was the church where I first accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 11. And so to now be in this place of just leadership, it blows my mind to think about just the plans that God has for each of us and how his plans are unfolding in my little life. And so it's an honor to now serve my local church in this way.
Well, congratulations. I think that is just really incredible and fun to be part of making history, right?
It is. It is. And I think it fits the trajectory of my life, Stephanie. You know, since I graduated from college, every professional opportunity that I've had, I've always started in a new role that did not exist for the organization before, and that I had the opportunity to kind of come in and shape. And here I am once again, being a part of a new entity as part of our church and being a part of the team that will give it foundation and will get to leave a legacy, which others will just take in even further. So it's an amazing, amazing gift that God has really planted in my life.
Well, and I think we've known each other for a little while, and I can definitely say, you know, one of the things that you are so uniquely gifted at is just not only your leadership skills, but starting things. You did that at Movement Day with directing all of the Movement Day expressions. And now you're at Pulse. And your title at Pulse is, I would feel a little overwhelmed with the vice president of multiplication and just the pressure of that. So tell us a little bit about that. You know, that's some new beginnings too. What's kind of going on there, and what are you excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Pulse Movement, for those that might not be familiar, is a faith-based ministry here in the United States that is focused on missionally awakening culture to the reality of Jesus. And we feel really called and committed to just raising up a next generation of leaders that are disciple makers, that are catalytic in their faith, and that are multipliers in terms of their ability to just witness to others and to bring them into the kingdom. And so as part of this growth and trajectory of Pulse, we are leading in this space of having 8 strategic initiatives as an organization. Many people know Pulse through Together Generation, the gathering that we've hosted in Washington, D.C., as well as in Dallas, Texas, where we've seen hundreds of thousands of young people and some young at heart also just be at the National Mall in D.C. and Texas Motor Speedway and just coming to just share their faith and be empowered in that same faith. But now we get this opportunity to launch this digital platform called the Move app. And we've launched a training and multiplication program. So we now have interns at our new headquarters office in Minneapolis who get to just do life and ministry with us every day. And we get to just sow into them and whom God is calling them to be. And we've already seen like a tremendous harvest come from that. We've hired one of our interns already as like a full-time staff person, which is amazing. And we've been doing these revival nights in Minneapolis, seeing hundreds of young people come out during the week just to be reignited in their faith. And then we're launching a YouTube channel. And we're just thinking about all these various ways that we can just be reaching this generation. And in 2020, we are partnering with a number of ministries globally to declare 2020 as the year of the Bible. And this will be a campaign that will largely live in the digital space, but it is rallying this generation around engaging with the Bible more and doing so in a way that is tangible and that is present and where young people can be excited about their faith. And so serving our team as the vice president of multiplication is just looking at how all of our initiatives are scaling, how they are increasing in depth and breadth. And, you know, it was a huge leap for me transitioning from movement.org and just the amazing 8 years of ministry that we all got to labor in together, just seeing Movement Day take off and now be spread across 5 continents. And it's just amazing to have been a part of that journey and now get to serve Pulse through this next phase of ministry that the Lord has really ushered us into. So definitely need a lot of prayer in it. it definitely requires a lot of prayer of me because clearly this is a plan that existed in the heart and the mind of God. And I just need to walk in alignment with what he's wanting to do in and through us. So,
well, and I love that about you, Ebony, because I know that is actually true, that you really have that spirit of prayer about you. And I also know something true about you is your intense passion for young leaders and generations coming up. I would love for you just to kind of, you know, where does that come from in you? What really drives you into that space?
Yeah, a lot of who I have become as a leader is really modeled behind what I felt like I didn't receive as someone yearning for leadership. As I, you know, have grown up through schooling and even through ministry, I think oftentimes we can become so focused on our individualistic mission that we forget that the call to who we are, especially as believers, is to be bringing others along with us as we are navigating this journey called life. And something that is tremendously life-giving for me is when I have the opportunity to share with others the experiences that I've had in life as well as in ministry. I'm someone that I would describe as very introspective, but I also have great comfortability being authentic and transparent as a leader. And especially with this young generation, or you could say emerging leaders, millennials, you know, whichever label you might want to affix to them, they crave authenticity. They crave someone that will be real and honest. They want to go behind just the veil of pretense that we find not just in ministry or in business, but throughout every sphere of influence. And so they are hungering for authenticity. And where there's this narrative that you have so many young people that are either denouncing their faith and adding to that category of the nuns, if you review the latest Pew Research Center report, or this narrative of that there are just millions of young people who are leaving the faith, I really don't think that these young people are leaving their faith in Jesus. They're leaving the pretense of what church has become, where we don't talk about real issues and we don't talk about things that might be too political or maybe taboo or might cause a little bit of controversy. They want to understand how do they live out their faith in the context of life. And so I have really just submitted myself to attempting to just be that type of leader that is not afraid with them to have the difficult conversations or to even say, hey, I don't understand this. I'm still seeking God for revelation concerning it. And so I want to embody the type of leadership that conveys humility, that conveys graciousness, and that also displays that I want to be naked and unashamed before God and before my fellow man. And just, you know, we all kind of sew into each other and how God is manifesting his various gifts within us. So what I would have wanted to see in the adults around me, and you know, sometimes, Stephanie, I'm sure you can even attest to it, didn't always see and got a lot of fluff and a lot of politically right statements. Mm-hmm. I just want to be a different kind of leader. And so that's what drives me every day into some very uncomfortable spaces, but also some deeply gratifying spaces as well.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because we do end up kind of talking about this research a lot. And the challenge is, do you just focus on the negative or do we try and unpack the why inside of it? Yeah. And it sounds like you're trying to unpack some of that why. And I'm just wondering, like, I just got this image of, okay, if Ebony could have a day where she got to just set the stage for what this would look like for the next generations coming up, what would you do? Like, if we could just put away all that has been and focus on how do we engage this generation, what would you do to kind of help create that landscape for these conversations?
Yeah, I would say, let's say in the parachurch organizational space, perhaps some of the things that I would really look to do would be to examine how are we holistically, one, presenting the message of Jesus Christ, but then also equipping people for daily life. So where are we equipping them with the tools that they can utilize to be successful in whatever career God has called them to? I feel that oftentimes, especially in the context of the local church, we don't always celebrate those that are not called to, let's say, the fivefold ministries of pastors and preachers and teachers or evangelists. But how can we really celebrate those that feel called to entertainment or called to sports or called to marketing and not demonize their gifts because they're not using them specifically to advance the cause of the local church, but they are advancing the cause of the kingdom. And so I think there needs to be a lot of kind of re-education amongst many local church leaderships, as well as our parachurch organizations, about building up the whole man and what it means to minister to the whole man. And so I'd love to be a part of, you know, any structural restructuring of, you know, organizations in terms of how they missionally live out their day to day in a way that really not just serves only younger leaders, but I would say serves the body of Christ and in full. And then I would say for the local church, it would be very much of the same. You know, how does our Sunday morning sermons equip people to go out and tackle this world? We have this amazing placard that is at the front of one of the entrances of our church building. And it basically says that herein lies the field, that when you exit these doors of the church, that you are going out into the field. And it constantly reinforces this mindset that you're coming into the church to be equipped, but you're going out of the church to really launch into what you've been equipped for. And I think that where we are constantly reinforcing that messaging from that Sunday morning pulpit time of ministry to our Bible studies and our discipleship groups, we will empower people with how to do life. And I think that's just what people are really hungering for. So I would love to be a part of any forward-thinking leadership models such as that. And I'm grateful that I get the opportunity from my local pastor and through Nick Hall as the founder of Pulse. And of course, our president, Justin Tennyson, they get it. They think in this way and they lead from this viewpoint. And they have some empowered leaders that they get to serve with. And I think even a greater impact that we get to see influenced upon others.
Yeah, I do think that that is, I love that placard that's in front of your church. I mean, because it really is, the equipping happens inside, but I think sometimes we walk out the doors and we forget either what just happened or what's in front of us. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit earlier, we were just having a quick conversation before we started recording, and we were talking a little bit about just this kind of idea of the challenges of going wide to try and cast a big net, or maybe not going quite as wide and getting a little deeper and really engaging in discipleship and mentoring and leadership development skills. I'd love for you to just kind of expand on that and just kind of where that passion comes from in you and just some of the things. I mean, I think something that's really important for people to know is, boy, you are on the front lines with the next generations coming up, and your desire and truly your love for them is so evident. And I know that's where this is coming from, is that just internal place. But I would love for you just to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I would say practically what that level of just discipleship and investment looks like for me. One, I went through this journey last year where one of our ministers in training at my local church kind of stopped me in the hallway one Sunday morning and started to talk to me about some challenges that he was having on his job. And he was like, listen, I really want to talk to you about this, but I know you're always so busy, but you're supposed to be my mentor, but you're so busy. And his words stung. And they hung, you know, in the air like a cloud. And I just felt so grieved that here, and this is not the first time that he had made a comment like this to me. And I just thought, as I kind of surveyed my relationships, you can tell when people are in your presence because they want something from you, and not want something like, oh, give me money or give me things, but they want a level of relationship and intimacy with you. And you either choose in those moments to lean in with them, or you kind of choose to maybe kind of put them a bit at bay. And so I just had to take that to God, because his comment bothered me. And I've learned that when things mess with you like that, it's because the Holy Spirit is trying to break through a bit in your understanding. And he challenged me in that. And I really felt challenged by God to be intentional about making time for discipleship. I think as leaders, and especially people where you have a lot of demand placed upon you, or you're serving in many different capacities, your natural inclination is that in order to preserve myself, I can only give 10% of myself here, 10% here, 10% there. But we feel like there's not more that we have to give. And God really challenged me in that you do have more to give. You just have to repurpose your time. And so what I've begun to do this year is that I just took about 14 of our emerging leaders between a few local churches, primarily my own here in New York, and another church that I've ministered with a lot. And there were 14 people that I knew that there was a desire for mentorship. And I really felt in my heart that these are people that I was to walk with more closely. And so I just said, hey, listen, I feel God calling us to be more intentional about mentorship in this new year. I want to have you guys over to my home for about 4 to 5 hours on a Saturday. And we're going to do life together. And we called it a life group. And they will come to my house. And we have had some incredible conversations about what it means to be a young person trying to navigate ministry. Where are our struggles? Where are areas that we need to overcome? Where are deep places of pain in my life? And I can think about just in my downstairs living room area were tears and victories. But all of that would have never happened if I had continued to say, I'm too busy. And so, yeah, there were some days where I did that and I had to go preach somewhere the next day. But God is amazing in that he finds the depth of capacity and grants you the grace that you need for whatever it is that he's calling you to do. And so, you know, again, as I mentioned before, I believe that this is what people need, period, no matter of their age group. They need people who are willing to walk with them day to day in life and really invest in them in ways that are meaningful, not just preach a message and say, get it and go do likewise.
Right.
And walk with them day to day and show them what this looks like. Okay. And how do you get back up when you stumble or when you make a mistake, or how do you labor before God when you don't understand something and you're waiting for revelation, like really walking with people through life. And so they have really kind of changed my outlook and just how I view ministry for me in this season. But I really do feel that this is the level of investment that God is asking of us to make as leaders. if you're a pastor or not a pastor, we all have to engage in meaningful and intentional relationship with each other and encourage each other in this faith. And so I really think that's so important, especially when we're growing in an increasing climate where being a Christian is not popular. Mm-hmm. And even Christians are highly criticizing other Christians for demonstrated acts of forgiveness. We can look to Dallas, Texas and see that. And it's just, you think of like, where is the ark of safety? And oftentimes the ark of safety is in those relationships that you just have that become your safety net for you when everything else seems like it's going haywire. And so I'm really grateful that we've got to enter into a deeper place of relationship in this year and just kind of look for that to continue and look also how I can model that in just other areas of my life as well.
Well, I think that's such a perfect story because for one, I love that you call it a life group because, you know, when you step into those spaces of the unknown, right? Like, how am I going to make time for this? But you obeyed in that what was on your heart. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes life-giving. Like now yeah. It becomes something that you go, oh, I don't want to miss out on this.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. I want to just kind of camp on that a little bit because I do think it is so significant that we do need these relationships and we need to step into spaces that it takes work. Like relationships, whether it's with different generations or different cultures and ethnicity, like it takes work and we are either willing to take that time and effort or we stay in the place that we're at right now and we don't take the risk. So I at the sake of you just repeating it, but I do think it's really important of just how would you encourage leaders who are listening today who just say, I can't do that. Like, I don't have that capacity. There's nothing. I would have to give up these four things and I can't give up those four things. Or, you know, just maybe kind of reiterate in a way that is kind of what you had to sacrifice in order to make these things happen.
Yeah, that's so good. It's interesting that this is a chapter focused on this in my new book. So the book is entitled The Leader in You, Discovering Your Unexpected Path to Influence. And one of the chapters talks about calling, but it also talks about discerning seasons. And I think it's a factor in each of our lives that we have different seasons where there are certain gifts in our lives. And you can look at that from the spiritual gift context, or you can talk about passion and desires in another context. But there are things within you that become really dominant where you're like, hey, this season, I really want to become a better cook, or this season, I want to travel the world. And with God, I think it's important for us to understand the seasons of our life that we are in. Is this a season where God is calling you to lead from behind the desk, or is this a season where God is calling you to lead from your living room? And so I had to really wrestle with what season of life am I in? And I know that the season that I am in is to be intentionally investing in people, not just through emails and conference calls and in-person meetings, but over dinner and, you know, and opening up my home, which I have said many times, God, you've given this to me, do with it whatever you want. Okay. Now God is putting a demand on that wonderful, you know, exhortation unto him. And now he's saying, okay, Ebony, I need your space to do X, Y, and Z. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt that that's the season of life that I'm in right now. So now I can judge every other thing by, is this allowing me to intentionally invest in people, or is this, you know, something else? And so I know what to say no to, and I know, you know, what to say yes to based upon the season of life that I am in. I can't do everything that I did last year because it's not where God has me this year. And so, you know, I believe that, again, for leaders, it's so intentional for us to know how God is calling us to operate. If we embrace this reality that we are bond servants, that we are slaves to Christ, and that our life is not our own, and we sing all of these wonderful worship songs on Sundays in church or even throughout the soundtrack of our lives, but you've got to really know that your life is not your own. And what God requires of you you have to line up and align with and ensure that you are making time to be doing the things that he's called of you to do. And so then the other dimension of this, I would say, is something else I've also wrestled with, is this dynamic of calling versus ability. There are a number of things that I'm able to do. I'm able to make great photocopies. I'm able to wash the dishes. You know, I'm able to still record video announcements at church. But right now, I'm called to invest in leaders. I'm someone else God has raised up to make the copy. Someone else God has raised up to do other things. And everything is equally important. But there's a place right now that I'm supposed to lean in. And I've had to learn to not apologize for being in that place. Because when you're a doer and you're a helper, and you want to kind of help people, you can find yourself being all over the place instead of anchored where you're supposed to be. And so it's a constant tension that I've wrestled with. And I would encourage other leaders that are listening to this podcast to also be wrestling with that and invite the Lord to speak to you, because I believe God is waiting, just waiting to speak to us and give us new marching orders for a new season. But we've got to be willing to submit and let go of the things that we feel like have made us, have defined us, have positioned us, and really allow the Lord to make all things new. And he's continually doing that, making things new in and through us. So that would be what I would encourage leaders to really wrestle with.
Amen. Pastor Ebony, I love it. I love how you, and we'll talk about the book in a second, but I love how you talked about just the season of time and that you're living into that season. I think there's part of that also of living into your true identity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those may change, mm-hmm. right? But when you do that, you are so fully alive. Like you just go, oh, now time doesn't feel as difficult. Like it's almost like there's more space and more energy created when you're not kind of butting up against something that you're, you know, trying to shove a round peg into a square hole. And I feel that in your spirit and the way you're talking, and it's really powerful. But yeah, let's talk about the book, because I know it's been a labor of love and just something that's really come out of your heart and your passion. And I love the title, The Leader in You, Discovering Your Unexpected Path to Influence. So tell me about just kind of what's the why behind that? Why write a book? And then just what are you really hoping is accomplished through kind of pouring yourself onto these pages?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, it was certainly an amazing labor of love. And the invitation to write this book, I would say, was a fulfillment of a prophetic promise that had been given to me a number of years ago, but one that I wasn't seeking after for myself. I just was really resting in whatever God's will was concerning timing. And, you know, through InterVarsity Press and Cindy Bunch, she had, you know, reached out to Mac Peer, who was the founder of movement.org, and said, hey, we've been having some conversation and thinking, if wondering rather, would Ebony be interested in writing? And I was just like, wow, you know, first to be even considered. And then secondly, I love the idea again of sharing, you know, what God has deposited within me or what I've learned in my walk with others. And so after probably 5 or 6 book proposals, we kind of landed on what we felt like would be the best need for one, a generation of young adults and emerging leaders. And it's this whole context of the leader in you and allowing God to just kind of cultivate, but also uncover what those leadership gifts are just as you kind of navigate the regular courses of life. And so for me, it was amazingly life-given, because it was an opportunity for me to, I would say, bring in different facets of my life in terms of how I view leadership from someone that wants to kind of mine the wisdom that I feel like I have within, but also I've been the recipient of just amazing leadership from so many amazing mentors or, you know, directors, you know, at work. And then, you know, sitting in spaces of leadership where you get to go to conferences and learn from some of the most brilliant thinkers, mm-hmm. and kind of all of that kind of meshes together and helps to formulate and shape your worldview and cultivates, you know, principles that you begin to live by. And I would say what I thought the book would be initially was not what it ended up being at the end. The end product was far better. But it was also done, I would say, in community. And I had a wonderful writing coach to kind of help me just kind of navigate my thought process. But I would say the crux of the book itself is just an opportunity to kind of understand how all of the experiences of your life, those that you would deem as good, those that you would deem as bad, those that you might even feel indifferent about, were God's like melting pot of forming you into the leader that he needs you to be for the day that we're in. And I don't know that I had really wrestled with that before, that from being bullied in elementary school to various broken hearts in relationship and, you know, being in jobs and at one point in my career, kind of leaving a job where it was the most money I had made in my entire life, but really felt called off that job to go to seminary and just wait for God's direction for my next season, how all of that has just kind of formed me into this being. But how I was able to kind of glean from those experiences was what made or break, could break the principles that I learned from each of them. So that's like really the gift that I want to give to anyone that would read it, is to just celebrate the things that God has taken you through in life and realize that they were all God's desire and part of his desire to refine you, not to kill you, not to destroy you,
punish,
to break you, and all these things that we think they are when we're going through them. But you were really in the refiner's fire, and he was purifying you and creating you into this vessel that he needs you to be for him and for his kingdom. And so I just want to be able to share that gift with as many people as the Lord would allow to read it. And so I'm excited for it and really humbled for the opportunity to have been able to write it.
Well, I can't wait to read it. When does it release?
So it will be released June of 2020.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that everybody knows about that too. So I love on the title, Your Unexpected Path to Influence. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I totally agree. I mean, I've lived enough years now where I can look back and 100% see the hand of God in every step along the way, in the hard and the great. And then sometimes the great turned into the hard. And, but this idea of unexpected path to influence, tell me a little bit more about just how that kind of phrase, you want that to really get into the mind of the reader, that they see their path to influence and that encouragement that you have a position of influence regardless of what you're doing, how you're doing it, how much money you make, where you live. Yeah.
I would say platform and influence are probably two of the biggest things that we wrestle with as a culture. I think social media has exacerbated that for our generation, where people equate their ability to have voice and influence by the numbers of likes and followers mm-hmm. that they have. And that's what they live for. How can I be more provocative? How can I be more cutting edge so that people will like and follow? And then subsequently, how can I, you know, obtain an income, you know, and another income stream by marketing products? And everything is really focused on how can I get people to like and want more of me. And I think if you view influence just in that means, that's very limiting, because I believe that God has really cultivated this platform for influence really throughout every sphere of our life, you know, in our families, amongst our colleagues, amongst strangers that we get to encounter. You make a lasting impression upon the housekeeper in the hotel, just as you do for the person that you might get the opportunity to pray for. When you think that every opportunity that you have before someone, no matter how minuscule you might find them to be, is an opportunity to leave a lasting influence in someone's life. And if you start to approach the lens of your life through that type of contextual-based thinking, but intentional thinking, you will truly learn to live out that scripture that talks about making the most of every opportunity because you know that the days are evil. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage anyone to be truly making the most of every opportunity that you have before you, which means, okay, we're not all perfect. We're not going to all have great days, but when you can be very present that I want to make it count when I'm in front of this person, that is sowing into this platform of influence, just even in your own life. And it will be God's decision as to how he broadens that for you. I don't think that we need to be in this constant rabbit race of chasing after notoriety and fame, because that is fleeting. You know, you can be one Twitter post away from controversy. You can be one off-the-hand comment away from being vilified. Mm-hmm. So is that what you're really after? Or do you want, in moments where you might say something that's totally off, you could have 10,000 people to say, you know what, Stephanie or Ebony had an off day, but I know Stephanie. I know Ebony. She has tremendous character. They've been this to me. They've been that to me. Do you want your life to, you know, speak to a level of credibility as to your character and your authenticity as a person, or do you want the number of likes to determine that? So again, when we think about our ability to just have this a platform, which means your voice, which means how you think, how you lead, how you serve, all that cultivates a platform. And that becomes the building ground with, I believe, God, who can then say, can I trust this person with more of my anointing? Can I trust this person with more open doors of opportunity? Are they going to look to make a name for themselves or make a name for me? And I would say if you are in that vein of, hey, I want to make Jesus's name great before anybody even knows anything about me, then that's fine. But I would say we also have to just wrestle with that desire. I think that we all have to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so how do you, you know, navigate the desire to be successful versus the desire to have influence? And I would say choose influence over trying to have success with others. Be great at what you do, totally. Be excellent at what you do. But being influential is more about what people say about you when you're not in the room versus what they say about you when you are. And so that's where I want to succeed and do well is having just kind of that lasting impact on people that really explains the best of who I am. And I'll sum it up this way. A young lady who used to attend our church, and I think I referenced her in the book, or if not, I have referenced her definitely at some point, and her name is Hollis Heath. And every time that Hollis signs off on a social media post, she always does so with a hashtag that says Hollis was here. And I loved it because no matter where she is in the world, it's like hashtag Hollis was here. And how are we with our lives leaving a lasting impression, which says like hashtag the church was here, hashtag the kingdom was here, you know, hashtag, you know, this disciple was here. Like, you know, how are we making that impact and leaving that type of impression on, you know, any place that God would call us to lead and serve in? So the spheres of influence that God has placed us in, we want to maximize those. We want to steward those spaces and places really well. But I would say go for building influence and your platform will come, you know, with that influence.
So good. That is so good. I love that distinction. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right that so many of us, myself included, like there's this sometimes overwhelming pressure to feel like you need to do the next big thing or excel at something. And that kind of a paradigm shift, if you will, that just says, wait a second, that is a macro thinking and we're going to get into a micro thinking. And that all of those little moments actually transfer into a bigger presence. But sometimes we don't value the small moments and it's in valuing those. So I think that is really sick. You just kind of like, I just had an aha moment. So June's going to be a long time before I get to read that book.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Stephanie. It's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Well, Ebony, we could chat for a long time. I'm sure everybody listening is equally enjoying this conversation because you are so gifted and talented. And I love that you are using your voice for the next generation and emerging leaders and the work that you're doing. One of the questions I like to ask kind of as a final thought is, if you were to just encourage people that are listening, City Gospel Movement leaders, pastors, parachurch organizations, what would just kind of, what are some thoughts and just offerings of from Pastor Ebony, thoughts of just blessing that you would have for people that are boots on the ground doing this work day in and day out?
One of the things that kind of first comes to mind would be that I know ministry is hard. One of the assignments, I would say first assignments that my pastor tasked me with when I was ordained in 2013 and then installed as an elder of our church was to launch this youth and young adult styled alternative worship service called the Third Service. And I would equate these past 6 years of journeying with the Third Service as essentially planting a church and going through all of the experiences or emotions of disappointment when you have less than 5 people show up and exuberance when you had over 100 people show up. And I think the natural tendency for us, because we want to be successful, and oftentimes the way we view success is by numbers and by increased statistics and how many services we might have at our local church or who knows my name, you know, in the city streets and so forth. And when you don't see that type of ripple effect for your leadership, and you're not viewing your impact in people's lives by how you bring greater depth to their soul's health, you will have the unfortunate reality of just feeling discouraged, questioning if you're being effective, questioning, did you really hear God, you know, when you stepped out on faith and did one thing or another? And so what I would want to say to any City Gospel Movement leader, especially City Gospel Movement leaders who are working to force the collaboration and unity, and I've said it before, I think that's one of the hardest assignments, being someone that forces unity, because everyone wants you to get behind what they're doing, but they don't see the value in, hey, what can we do together? And so that's hard. But understand that Jesus has modeled for us what it means to be someone that carries something that's new and labors in something that's hard. But he was also unpopular. And everywhere he went, people were talking about his message or criticizing his message or even speaking to the illegitimacy of how could something like this come out of Bethlehem. And we're constantly dealing with these forces that want to discredit the work that is being done. But one man impacted 12 lives that caused a ripple effect in generations to come, billions of people that only eternity will bear witness. So let's just really be intentional about dealing with what we have in our hands and just doing that well. Let God perform the increase. Let's leave the increase portion to God, but let's just be really intentional with just the little that he's given us, because, you know, his word said that he will make us rulers over much, but that much doesn't have to equate to mass numbers. And so you're not alone. Find community where you can be encouraged. I love this term that I always use, and it's talking about, you know, being naked and unashamed. Like, where are the people in my life that I can just truly be naked and unashamed with, where I don't have to pretend like everything is okay in my world? That if I called you and the first things that you heard from me was just tears and sobbing, you would know to pray for me. We need those people that will walk with us in life, because the work of this gospel in this kingdom is really hard, and it's self-sacrificing. And you can walk through the depths of, you know, depression and discouragement. And we see that in examples of David and Elijah and so many others, you know, just in the Bible. And so we're going to experience those things ourselves. But may we do so within a community that will build us back up and encourage us to get back out there and put one foot in front of the other. And so I just really want to see pastors and ministry leaders just doing life in community, not in competition with each other, not trying to outshine the one down the road, but just understanding that we are not in competition with each other, but that we just are here to do the work that God has called us to do. So just want to encourage you to keep running the race, and truly heaven will tell the story of what we've all been able to do together. And so that's exciting that we'll get to celebrate together one day.
Amen. I've said amen more on this podcast than any other I've ever done.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. The only thing left to do is to take an offering.
How could we do that? That's a brilliant idea. Oh, Pastor Ebony Small, thank you so much for joining us. It has just been a delight. And if people want to reach out and just connect with you, what would be the best ways for them to do that?
Sure, I would love to. You can reach me on the web. My website is ebonysmall.nyc. There's no S on the end of my last name, just small. Again, ebonysmall.nyc. I am on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as myself. So you can just type in my name and you'll find me. And I'd love to connect with you in LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. And her book, The Leader in You, Discovering Your Unexpected Path to Influence, is out June 2020. Thanks so much, Ebony.
Thank you so much.
Wow, I loved that conversation. And what I love even more is when you guys continue that conversation online. So I love hearing from you guys when you tell us how much you love that podcast or how it impacted you specifically. We love hearing from you on Instagram. And so please DM us at City Gospel Movements.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movements podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. For more resources, show notes, and to get connected to gospel movements around the globe, visit citygospelmovements.org. That's citygospelmovements.org. Keep believing in what God can do in your city.